You're such an asshole.
All right, how you kids doing? Let's go through this one. Hi, Aaron. I sent you a request a while back, and you ridiculed me about the length. Yep. I will be more concise and succinct in this request. Recently, I turned 24. I'm employed in the IT industry as a guy making $55,000 a year. As of now, I have an associate's degree, but currently enrolled in an online accredited college for a bachelor's in IT. I took your advice about taking the Queen of IQ test, received 131. After taking that, I read your book, Curse of the High IQ, and enjoyed it immensely. I may end up checking out your other books in the future. For about the past year, I've been investing in the stock market. I'm 34% up year to date. All right, let's see what the S&P 500 is. Year to date, 20%. All right, you are beating the index. All right, that's good. While I'm at the stock market, I am in the stock market. I also have a Roth IRA account. Are there any other investments? Okay, dude, you're not succinct. I didn't need all this crap about your background. You could, if you want to get advanced in society, I don't care where it is, man, you guys have got to get to the point. All right? No one can, I mean, I hope you do well. And on some level, I'm interested about your background. There's no fucking time. Boom. Young guy, engineer. Wondering about investment options during COVID. That's it. Then you get cheaper prices and you're not pissing off your boss who's like, dude, Frank, get to the fucking point. I don't know. I don't know if it's autism or Asperger's. Here's a rule. Okay, here's a rule. It's just fine. No one gives a shit about you. No one. They don't want you dead either, but no one gives a shit about you. The reason I do relatively well in social situations is I shut up. And I rarely, I'm not rarely, but I wait for opportune moments to speak, to say something very incredibly insightful, germane, or ideally very funny, and then I just shut up again. And if someone's asking me about my life, they don't really care about me. They don't hate me either. But out of respect for their time, I'm only going to convey the information they need. I mean, there's no way people need to be told to brush their teeth and get a haircut and put on deodorant. Yes. And apparently I should do a seminar on get to the fucking point on Teachable. Starting in January, employer. Are there any other investment opportunities you recommend moving forward? Starting in January, my company will begin matching my 401k dollar for dollar first. Okay, I cannot tell you what to invest in. All right. And I can only tell you what's on the menu. And quite literally, everything is on the menu. You can invest in anything. Because modern day financial products, they call them products. If you want to invest in Tanzanian goat futures, you can do it. I'm sure there's a brokerage out there that's offering them. But your general main asset categories are going to be your commodities, which could be things like precious metals are one of them. But you could go into lumber, gas, oil. There's indices that compile them all together, just a general index of commodities. There's real estate through mutual funds, again, indexes called real estate investment trusts. All these different, and there's multiple trusts or funds that you can invest in that specialize. Some real estate investment trusts will do commercial property. Some will just do rental property. Some will specialize in this geographic area. Some will be global. Some will be domestic, right? But generally speaking, commodities and the subcategories therein. Then there's real estate and the subcategories therein. You have stocks, global world of stocks. I think every major, even medium exchange out there now has some kind of index fund that allows for immediate diversification. But you would have to then, okay, do I want to invest in European stocks or Asian stocks? What part of Asia? First nation status, developing world? Do I want to include India on that? Is the Middle East considered part of that? Am I exposed to oil if I invest in a Middle East fund, which probably will be? So, but generally people here in the United States, it's the S&P 500, you know, and that, and you know what, if it's a 401k, I can almost guarantee you they're going to limit what your options are. So you will not have a global choice. They might have a global fund, but whoever's managing the 401k, let's say it's Fidelity, all right, you're going to choose from a menu list of Fidelity funds. They're going to just, and that's it. That's unless it's self-directed, there's a self-directed option, then you can invest in anything that the brokerage of Fidelity trades in, which would allow you some more investable options. But I'm almost guaranteeing you that you maybe already have it now. You should have some kind of like investment prospectus that came in the mail or emailed to you PDF. Click on that, open it up, and it'll go through all the options that you have available to you. And there should be a little bit of a description. And if you wanted more information about which ones and how they do, a great website to go to is Morningstar.com. Go to Morningstar.com, you type in the ticker symbol of the mutual fund, and it pulls up a report. It shows you how it performed against the S&P 500, which may not, if there's some bonds in it, it's not going to beat the, well, it might, but it's not going to track the S&P 500. Then there's like the categorical index, the composite index it would normally be compared against. It shows you expense ratios. It shows you all these other things. So that will be your menu. But generally speaking, in a COVID world, it's no different than a pre-COVID world. You know, well, you could go to a brokerage and pretty much buy whatever you want. So we have precious metals, not precious, we have commodities, of which precious metals is included. We have regular old stocks. There's bonds. These are all international, global, or domestic. There's cryptocurrency. I don't know if there's going to be a mutual fund investment option for that in Fidelity, but you might be able to invest in that. Real estate. Why am I figuring I'm missing something? You're not going to be able to invest in options or futures or derivative type investments because that's not going to be on a 401k. But that, if you want to get into options trading, that's something for you to evaluate and research further. Yeah, and then like within equities, there's going to be a lot of variety. You can have small cap, mid cap, large cap, blue chip, high risk, low risk, international, growth, dividends, stability. You know, just go do your research, find out what options are available on the investment prospectus from the 401k provider. And then if you want, best thing you do, go to Morningstar.com and compare them there. But those are your investment options. Which ones are going up or down? I don't know. That's why I invest in the index and I just buy and hold because I don't even invest anymore. I just hedge against inflation. You mean you buy inflationary bonds? No, I just think they keep printing off so much money that assets in general are going to go up, not in value, but in price. My house is worth $600,000. Oh, yeah? Can you buy a house for $300,000? Oh, no. Well, then your house didn't go up to $600,000, is it now? My second question is regarding the origins of the pandemic. I've been watching several people's podcasts that include Lex Fridman, Brett Weinstein, Joe Rogan, etc. They have very intelligent speakers come on, and they all seem convinced this leaked from the Wuhan lab of virology. I know several Chinese reporters tried reporting this, but they have since disappeared, been exiled, or killed. Any thoughts regarding this? I am also perplexed by the overreaction to this pandemic when the virus's mortality rate is so low. All right, well, let's answer first. Yeah, I believe it came out of, I mean, China was the first, like, sound the alarms. We know it at least came out of China. And if the pathology is correct, yeah, I'm inclined. These people probably are more researched. The people they interviewed, I'm not saying Lex Fridman and all them, but the people they interviewed, I don't know what the international science community thinks. I think it's ultimately irrelevant where it came from. It's out. But yeah, I mean, if I had to put my money on it, it probably came out of that lab. Now, if it didn't come out of that lab, or it did come out of China, it came out of the town of Wuhan, I presume, because then wasn't that the first to lock down? Wasn't that zero? So did it come from a lab? Did it come from a wild goat? I don't care. So that's that question. I'm also perplexed by the overreaction to this pandemic when the virus's mortality rate is so low. About 99% of people who get the virus are okay. Do you think the way the United States reacted to this is all political, move us closer to authoritarian? No, I don't have a conspiracy theory. My theory is a little bit more nuanced. I mean, keep in mind, 99%, when 1% of the people have to go to the hospital, that's not necessarily, you know, something to dismiss, because there's 320 million people in the population. And I could understand where they originally had concerns about, do we have enough respirators and ICU units and stuff like that? Because they didn't know what they were dealing with. Perhaps I'm a little bit more lenient or understanding or open-minded or whatever about it. I would not totally agree with the premise. Like, yeah, you got a 1% mortality rate. Well, 1% of 320 million is 3.2 million people. Let's assume everyone gets it. But younger people survive, and I think it's even a fraction of 1%. But they had to do the math and say, okay, what if 1%? Okay, that seems very low on paper. Well, what's 1%? Okay, how many units we got? You know, how do we treat this thing? And they're like, oh, crap, we don't have enough. So I can understand their original reaction. I can understand that. So I don't believe it's authoritarianism or anything like that. What we're witnessing now, and here's my nuance. I wouldn't even say theory, it's just what I see. You have a bunch of pretty worthless people in the government health, not necessarily nonprofit, not charity, but a nonprofit, like, you know, your FEMAs, your World Health Organizations, where for their entire lives, you know, it's like the Cubs winning the Super Bowl, the World Series. Like, for once in their life, what they were trained for is now at hand. And whereas the Cubs winning the World Series, like, it made a bunch of people really happy, and then the Cubs, you know, and then you play next season and the World Series is over. I think a lot of these people, I don't even think it's that they want to keep extending it so that they have purpose and agency, but their reaction, the response was such overkill, because we have way more public health administrators, way more emergency health management majors, way all this infrastructure, and by infrastructure I mean overeducated bureaucrats, now finally have their calling. And they had to strut their stuff and show everything. Like, we're going to do this, we're going to do, oh my God, we got to calculate, da, 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 da. And so whether it's policy wonks, health professionals, even statisticians, as well, like, you know, how often do you get a pandemic? And the last one was what, probably the 1950s, I believe. People were locked down for a couple months. It's a twice a century thing, roughly on average. Well, you could have an entire career and not be called upon. You could have wasted all your career. Now you have literally millions of, and globally speaking as well, they got to make their life count. And the hell with the rest of you and your freedoms, and let alone practicality and functionality, be damned. We are going to embark on, now we get to we finally get to fire the one, you know, Barney Fife gets to fire the one bullet in his gun. That's probably the best analogy to describe it. Barney Fife, I don't know if you remember Barney Fife from the Angry. He'd always have a bullet in his pocket. He'd never have it in the gun. Now you finally get, the bad guys are now, and you have to watch the show to get it, but now they finally get to use that one bullet. And like Barney Fife, they're overreacting and they're screwing it up. And what they should have done was much more measured approach. Like at the beginning, like, whoa, crap, all right, good, better safe than sorry. But once it started, like, asymptomatic, high percentage, it's not that. Young people, get out there and work. Old people, stay there, get the vaccine, get your treatment. Anyone who's frail, anyone with a compromise, absolutely. And hey, if you got family or, you know, your work, employers, do what you want. Hey, this new internet technology, it ain't so new anymore, allows you to work from home. Please work, you know. That would have all been perfect, but there was absolutely no reason to shut down the damn global economy over it. Absolutely not. And now you're kind of seeing, you know, and then each variant is like Barney Fife getting a new bullet. Like, Andy, I got another bullet. We got to keep the, you know, meanwhile, the robbers, the bank robbers have been arrested, or the moonshiners have been hauled off to jail. Barney's got to keep it going. And so you're going to see them, like, they're going to stretch this as long as they can until, I don't know. There's, you know, it's when does it end? It won't. It'll keep going as long as these people can have some. And you're going to see remnant things where it's like, well, you got to do this, you got to do it over there. And what I'm more worried about is, like, if this was the low level that the world shuts down over, and we don't take more measured approaches, where, like, we just really destroy everyone's economy, what's going to happen next? I mean, you know, what's going to happen down the road? Are we going to have an overreaction? I guess it's better to have an overreaction than, like, when the real thing hits, you're like, oh crap, we cried wolf all the time. But, like, what is going to cause another, in my estimation, an overreaction where we just tie our hands behind our back and shut everything down? I don't believe it's a conspiracy. Obviously, it's real. Yes, you should take precautions. If you want to take the vaccine, certainly go ahead and do that. And heck, my forget the vaccine. My issue is, why did we have to shut everything down? Why can't you let people make their own choice? Why couldn't we have, like, quarantine people? Or we could have done this way more intelligently without, like, shrinking GDP by 10%. It's not a ploy to move us towards closer to authoritarianism. I mean, it's, what's the rule? Don't ascribe to malice what can be ascribed to stupidity. Censorship of people on social media platforms talking about alternatives to the vaccine is also crazy. I haven't paid attention. I don't watch the news. Really don't watch the news. So there we go. All right, let's go to the chat room, see if there's any super chats. No super chats. We're done. We'll see you guys later, Toodles.